So you're with the Resistance?
Hello, what have we here?
I'm a big deal in the Resistance.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 95. Hope you all enjoyed last week's show, because this week it's all about Han Solo and the Solo film. Because it's Solo. Anyway, it's all about the new trailer, because I'm excited about it. As always, I'm Mikey B, and I'm joined by my co-host, Danya.
Hi, everyone. We're back in our, like, usual configuration this week.
Yeah, maybe. Sure. Anyway, and Caitlin joins us. How you doing, Caitlin?
Good, you?
Welcome. If you guys want to get involved in the conversation, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast. Leave a comment on our Facebook page. Send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net, or leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hypeable.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free today. We also launch our Patreon. Check it out at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. We have perks like our Discord chat. You can join us in our recording studio. Join us for movie nights where you hear really bad commentary from us, or really good commentary depending on how you see it. And of course, After Dark episodes. If you can't support us via Patreon, that's all right. We do have merchandise available on our website at resistanceradio.net. We have t-shirts and button packs available for you to get. I think it's time for the news. I'm so excited for the news. I don't know about you guys, but I am. So, we talked about it last week, that Super Bowl was going to be where we're going to see a teaser. And then the next day, on Good Morning America, they were going to release the Solo trailer. And guess what we got? The Solo trailer! Alright, this is going to be our spotlight topic, so I just want to give us, like, general, like, first shot opinions before we dive into it and we get to the spotlight. Caitlin, what'd you think of the Solo trailer? Not the teaser. We'll talk about the teaser during the spotlight. What'd you think about the trailer?
Well, I watched it twice in a row, and I ended up with mixed feelings both times. And okay, that is all I'll say feelings, for now.
For now. Alright. Danya, your thoughts?
The little Super Bowl teaser, so obviously because of time zone reasons, I didn't see it until the morning after anyway. For me. So I woke up and watched it while I was having my breakfast, and I was like, I wasn't too sure about the little teaser, the one that aired with the Super Bowl. I was like,
okay, we'll talk more just, about that.
My initial thoughts were just,
That's gonna be the new. You know what? That's gonna become a ringtone. All right.
Or the title of this episode.
Yeah.
So tell me what you thought about the trailer.
Yeah. Wow. So yeah. There's this really great moment from 10 Things I Hate About You. Of the movie 10 Things I Hate About You, where the girl is basically like, I know you can be overwhelmed and you can be underwhelmed, but can you ever just be like whelmed? And I am whelmed. That is how I feel about the trailer. I'm not like disappointed by it. I didn't dislike it. I didn't love it. I'm somewhere like firmly in the middle of just being like, I guess it looks okay. It's fine. That I'm fairly middle ground neutral about it. So, yeah, that's how I feel about the full trailer.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you
Mikey,
this.
Mikey, how do you feel?
Danya saw this. I did a reaction video for our Patreon, and of course my daughter is in it, because I waited before I can watch the trailer, just so that way I had the time to record myself. And at first watch, I was like, okay, this is kind of, it wasn't what I was expecting, but it kind of was. You know what I mean? Like, it was a different film. But the more and more I watch it, the more and more I'm excited for it. Like, I really like it. I don't know if it's because Lando smiles in it, and that's just, I'm like, yeah, Lando. Hello, what do we got here? I love Lando. But at the same time, like, the only thing about it that I'm not, like, a huge, like, oh, I really am not, I'm not a huge thing for is Alden Ehrenreich's voice. Now, it's a little thing, but, like, you know, his mannerisms, he does a good job of, like, some of the things, like, definitely remind me of Han Solo, because that's what he's playing, so I'm okay with it. But his voice, since he's narrating the trailer, he doesn't sound like, you know, Harrison Ford. He doesn't sound like Han. Now, I will tell you, probably 5 minutes into the movie or whatever, that will go away and it won't matter and I'll be immersed in it. But it looks like a really fun adventure film. Like, and I'll be honest with you, when they said that, you know, there's this whole point, it's like, it's the best script ever. I wouldn't be surprised if it's just a really fun movie. Like, I feel like it's going to be a really, just like, a good film because of, like, it just looks like it's really fun. You know, everything from, like, him racing at the beginning, and you see, like, this, and it was really cool, like, in the racing, I don't want to get into it too much, but you see, like, a different type of stormtrooper on a speeder bike that looks like what Darth Maul had back in Phantom Menace, which is kind of cool. So you see, like, you know, so there's, like, nods to even the prequels in it, and then you also see him, like, flying the Falcon, which looks like, or one, you see the Falcon, which is, like, really funny, it's, like, the same shot that we saw in Force Awakens. You know, the hallway shot and everything, but it's all white and clean and scrubbed. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Han, you're it. You need to clean your ship. But then you also see, like, them flying through with, you know, with the clouds and everything. And the, you know, and then you see, like, kind of a, I don't know, an octopus type thing. And I'm like, this just looks like there's going to be some fun stuff going on. So I'm excited for it. I think I'm probably more excited now after I've seen it like 50 times, but I'm really excited for it. But we'll get into this. So we'll go break down and we'll go further and further with it. But I love it. On top of the trailer coming out, we also got Solo character posters for Solo, Lando, Chewie, and how do you pronounce her name?
Kira.
Q-I-R-A?
Yeah, so it's pronounced
Not Chira, because Q-I is Chi. That's the Chi standard. You know, the Qi wireless charging center is QI.
As far as I'm aware, they've been calling her Kira.
Okay.
Which is why a lot of people have been spelling it K-I-R-A for a long time, because that's how they've been referring to her character.
Okay. Well, and that's what I thought, but I wasn't sure. Yeah. So, okay.
So I was looking around and I was like, why are so many people like spelling it K-I-R-A when it's Q-I-R-A. And I was like, what's going on? And then I figured out that they must have talked about the character at some point and said Kira, and people have, you know, spelled it like it sounds. Therefore, yeah,
well,
that's
the
where
only
that's
reason
come
I ask
from.
Is because Kira was the name of essentially Rey's character.
Yeah.
Is what
so
we
I think
had.
They're reusing it. So, is what I'm assuming.
Yeah.
They're reusing the name.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm looking at it was originally Kira during the development of Force Awakens. And then there's a planet, Kira. And then Q-U-I-R-A. And that's why I was kind of... Because, again, if you look at, like, you know, English now, Q-I is Chi. It's what it's... How it's pronounced. You know, it's because it's the Qi wireless standard. But I will say, those are the four posters. Do you guys have a favorite? Because I love the Lando one.
I love the Lando one. Yeah.
Yes!
I will say, as much as I'm still very much like, meh, about the trailer itself, the posters are incredible. I love the posters. I love this vintage feel with the huge topography.
The vintage wanted wonk look.
Yeah.
Like, they look like wanted posters because, you know, yeah, there's, you know, we know Han Solo becomes a wanted man with a death mark on his name from Jabba, and, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they get in trouble, and I don't think they're going to have, like, old school wanted posters, but they definitely kind of hearken on that to me.
Yeah, so. I absolutely love these posters. So much. I just think they look so cool. Like, there's something about them that's just...
They remind me of old Western movies.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like that wannabe... Now, I will say this. You know what's really funny? At first glance, you would think the Millennium Falcon is on the posters at the bottom. But it's not the Falcon. Do you see that? It's closed up in the middle there. It's not doesn't have the
Yeah, a lot of people have pointed that out from the actual trailer too.
Yeah, so
the shots of the Falcon as we know it is closed up in the middle. So mm-hmm. The running theory is that may have been an escape pod of some kind. And it's used by one of the characters in the course of this film to basically ditch everyone to get out of there at the end and like abandon everyone. And so that's why there's a gap.
Well, in the what do you call it? In the old dissections and the old books of the EU, the Millennium Falcon and other Corellian YT class ships always had that kind of pincer, if you will. Because that's how they used to transport cargo, was through that. So it could be that, you know, if they're transporting something, that's could be what it is and it's filled in. Or it could be a completely different ship. I don't know. So, but yeah, that's kind of what we got there. So overall, I love these posters. I just think they look great. All right. We also have new news. Again, we didn't have a lot of news last week, but now it's like all Han Solo. But we do have Last Jedi news. We have the Last Jedi comic is going to be coming in May. Now, previous films, Force Awakens and Rogue One, both had 6-issue adaptations. So obviously with the novelization coming out, we're going to get a 6-issue or a series of the Last Jedi. Probably be about 6 issues is what I would guess also. The cover is available. It was done by Mike Del Mundo, and it looks kind of awesome. Like, I cannot say enough great things about the cover. What do you guys think about the artwork and the comic coming out?
I had not actually seen the artwork. This is my first time seeing it, and I really love this art. That cover is beautiful.
Did anybody notice with Luke and Rey standing on the rock that the greenery uh-huh. surrounding the rock is the symbol?
Okay. Yeah, it's the Rebel Alliance starboard symbol. Yeah, it's so awesome.
I love it.
And I also like that there's porks in it too.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
So, yeah, so that's cool. We're going to get a comic. I'm excited for it. The artwork in these have just been absolutely wonderful. But yeah, I'm a big fan of the artwork here just because it is such a good imagery that we have here. And then the last big news before we dive into our Solo teaser. I feel like I'm rushing. Maybe I just want to talk about Han Solo because...
Han Solo or Lando?
Solo. Maybe it's Lando. You're right. I do have a bleeding heart for Lando. I will say, you know what's really funny? Before we get into the last big news, I will say everyone I've talked to at work and stuff, they're like... They need to do a Lando movie. I'm like, I agree. They need to do a Lando movie, and we just need to have Donald Glover just do like a Lando trilogy. I think a Lando trilogy would be awesome, but that's just me. Anyway, we have news about a new Star Wars TV series, and it's official. We have showrunners. So Game of Thrones creators David Benioff and D.B. Weiss are set to produce a new series of Star Wars films or TV shows. Is it films or TV shows?
I understood it as television.
I'm actually looking at the press release. It says series films. Of Star Wars films. Yeah, films. Oh. I think everyone assumed, all the other articles, I think have assumed it's going to be television because they did Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But then they talk about them being the showrunners, and that's typically what you get in a TV show.
I mean, I'm not seeing them reference them as showrunners. I'm seeing write and produce a new series of Star Wars films. So.
Let's see, where is Kathleen Kennedy's response? Yeah, no. I think it's just, I think all the other articles that have come out from like The Verge and everything talk about them being showrunners because...
Oh,
it's because they're Game of Thrones showrunners. That's what it is.
Yes. And we'll write and produce a new series of Star Wars films. There we go. Yeah.
Yep. So we have Rian Johnson's series and we have their series. So what do you think about this?
So I'm really frustrated about this. This is my reaction you are getting in real time. I got a headache prior to recording, so I had fallen asleep for a couple of hours to try and get rid of it. So I did not see this news drop. This is my first time seeing it. So this is my reaction in real time. You're basically getting it as I've read this news, and I am not a fan of this at all.
And you want to elaborate?
Because once again, we are getting another series of Star Wars films set in this galaxy, fronted by exactly the same perspective as we have always got. Always. Going back to the originals, which is that of a white man. And these are the guys, as well, who thought it was a fantastic idea to try and write a series which was basically like, but what if slavery was never abolished? What would have happened there? It's like these are the guys who like thought that was a good idea. And well, also a lot of what they write for Game of Thrones, much as I love the show, I do, but it has problems. It has major problems, particularly with treatment of characters of color, and also the slavery narrative. Like, they have a major problem when it comes to that sort of stuff. So as much as I like Game of Thrones, I have a lot of problems with Game of Thrones. It is one of those shows that, for me, falls into being a problematic favorite. So I enjoy it. I watch it to an extent. There was one whole part of Game of Thrones. Was it series 5 or series 6? I think it might have been series 5 where they did the Sansa storyline with Ramsay, right?
I don't remember the season.
Yes, it wasn't the recent one, because
yeah, so the season where they did the rape plot line with Sansa and Ramsay, I stopped watching and just read episode recaps. I almost dropped the entire show. Not because... And here's the thing with me with that sort of stuff. It's not that I can't watch it. It's that it was so clumsily handled and written and managed from start to finish. It is possibly the worst plot line that I have seen of a rape storyline and the fallout after it, that I just couldn't watch it. And it was just awful. So in a lot of ways, a lot of problems with the way that they write women. I have a lot of problems about the way that they write their characters of color. I have a lot of problems with the ways that they treat both, that I have major alarm bells in the back of my head, because even the like ideas that they had moving forward after Game of Thrones are continuing with those alarm bells. So again, these are two white men who are getting an opportunity ahead of several other incredible filmmakers who just aren't getting a look in. Again, well, because...
So I will play devil's advocate here. And
yeah, because you always do.
So, well, you know, and here's things. So you brought up the argument of what they're going to do after Game of Thrones when you talk about their show Confederate, which may or may not be happening. We don't know if it's on hold or not. I feel like that's actually just a rehashing of the idea of Man in the High Castle that's on Amazon that has won awards and everything, which is, what if the Nazis won World War II? You know, and that's way more recent than, you know, the Civil War in the U.S. So I definitely think it's, you know, and that's a very touchy subject too. So I think if it was handled well, it would be an interesting show and thought process.
Yeah, that's my problem though, is that I don't think they can handle this subject matter particularly well, particularly when it comes to racial-based storytelling. They've already proven multiple times that they cannot sensitively handle that kind of stuff. So therefore,
well, I'm gonna read you something. David and Dan are some of the best storytellers working today. Their command of complex characters, depth of story, and richness of mythology will break new ground and boldly push Star Wars in ways I find incredibly exciting. That's from Kathleen Kennedy, so I think she might disagree with you on some of that. Not to say that...
I feel like she disagrees with me on a lot of things, because she also prioritizes white women above all else. And I've levied this criticism at her before, because it's true. And so I fundamentally actually do disagree with her. We are on completely opposite sides there. I don't think that they have rich storytelling. I don't think that they handle characters with complexity. I don't agree with her at all. There are probably hundreds and hundreds of storytellers that I would choose to run and write and produce a Star Wars trilogy before these two men.
Okay.
So now, I fundamentally disagree with Kathleen Kennedy once again. Which is no surprise, really.
Now I will say I'm pulling up Lucasfilm's team, their executive team. 57% of their executive team, over the whole team, from, you know, the heads to production, mm-hmm, franchise, and studio, is female.
Yep. And of that, how many of them are white?
Well, hold on. Now I'm going to count how many are of color and not just female. Or of white, you have six of the eight.
Yes. There we go.
But, well, now here's the thing, is I can't tell if someone over here is Hispanic or not, and different, you know, different ethnicities. Yeah. Because the picture doesn't really tell you. Like, I'm looking at, like,
yes.
I'm looking at obvious here. And again, that's, but here's the thing, is like, that's six of eight. So that's what? 25% are women of color out of those eight. And then you also have, like, so here's the thing, is like, I'm going to go ahead and say that's not a bad ratio for a huge, huge multi-billion-dollar company. You know what I mean? Like, but it could be better. I'm not saying it can't be better, but I'm just saying, like, you know,
I'm playing devil's advocate
here on everything.
Yeah, which is incredibly frustrating. Let me just point that out. It is, yeah, but not in a funny way. Because how many of those? Because you said one of them is ambiguous, so they could be white passing.
Well, no, there's multiple that are ambiguous. I just don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to say one thing and it not be true.
Okay. So I'm gonna say, of those that are explicitly people, or explicitly women of color, then let's say that, what are their roles and how much influence do they have specifically on who gets to tell and dictate the direction of Star Wars? Because that's the major difference, right?
Well, Carrie Hart she's worked for more than 20 years as a story analyst. She is the head of the story group. I'm looking, and she is development executive. So she has direct influence over all story.
So then I'm wondering what the hell is going on. Because no people, like,
and that's all I'm telling you. Like, I'm like that right there. I'm like, right there. Woman of color is head of production, I'm reading her. Carrie Hart has worked in film for more than 20 years as a story analyst, writer, and development executive. In 2012, she In 2012, she helped form Lucasfilm Story Group and currently serves as a development lead. Hart is a graduate of Stanford University and a California native. So she is the development lead. I'm not trying to argue.
Hold on. Carrie
Hart, Senior Vice President of Development.
Oh, Carrie. I'm
bad at reading names, okay? I don't know everyone's name, and I do apologize, Carrie, if you ever hear this. But, you know, here's the thing is, like, I think the fact that you have a woman of color that high up and has that direct involvement is progress. And I think it's something where, the fact that David and Dan are coming from a successful franchise. It is successful. You can't argue that Game of Thrones is not successful.
Oh, no. I'm not saying that Game of Thrones is not to general audiences successful, and to majority of people, they're going to be fine with this. I'm just saying that...
I think if Star Wars is going to tackle the Old Republic, I think they are probably some of the best people to tackle it because of their previous experience and kind of a medieval-ish kind of background, because the Old Republic takes place thousands and thousands of years before what we know. And I would love to see, like, all right, I'm a guy, all right, I'll be honest, the battle scenes in the latest episodes of Game of Thrones where the dragon flies over and breathes fire over thousands of people, and just, you know, the battles between the two houses, like, that's the stuff that I thought was really cool. I would love to see Jedi and Sith, not the rule of two, but the Old Republic with thousands of Sith versus thousands of Jedi. That story, being able to tell a complex story out of something like that, I think would be awesome. And again, here's the other thing to remember, is regardless of how you think of portrayal of characters, how they were done in Game of Thrones, that's an HBO R-rated series. This is Disney, family-friendly. You know, even if it goes a little edgier to PG-13, like Revenge of the Sith and, you know, Last Jedi, it's still going to be not Game of Thrones. Does that make sense? Like, so I'm okay with it. I'm excited for it. And it sounds like they're excited for it, too, because,
you know, I don't doubt that they're excited about it. I mean, it's an incredible opportunity. But, again, like, my major problem is that we're not getting any different perspective. It's exactly the same rut. Exactly the same rut that the Marvel Cinematic Universe has been stuck in. Because what? How many years has it been since Iron Man? What? Right, okay.
It's been 10 years.
10 years since Iron Man, right? And mm-hmm. 18 films later, we're getting the first one led by someone of color, written by someone of color, directed by someone of color. That's 18 films, with all the rest of them written, directed, headed up by white men the entire way through. It's exactly the same problem that Star Wars is falling into, that we are getting stories from that same singular perspective over and over and over and over again. And to a point, you start going over the same ground because you're not getting enough different perspectives in that room coming through to the screen. And that's the problem that I have. Because it's the same perspective, the same people leading it, the same people writing it, from the same kind of background and culture and perspective. And that's not what you need in diverse storytelling. And I mean diverse storytelling in the fact that they come from different backgrounds, different cultures. You know, these films should be coming from a melting pot of perspectives, because it is a melting pot in the galaxy. You know, we're talking about a place where it's anyone and everyone, and so the perspective should be coming from anyone and everyone, not the same people over and over and over and over again.
Okay, I'll agree with you. So, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Just to talk about Lucasfilm, all right? Because obviously, they've done more than Star Wars, and this is a Star Wars podcast, so they do it. What was your opinion on Anthony Hemingway and Red Tails? That was the Lucasfilm film.
Red Tails.
You're not. That was of the film about the Tuskegee Airmen that fought during World War II.
No, never seen it.
Okay, so I won't dive into it. Let me pull up. I'll just pull up the Lucasfilm thing so you can look at it. But you know, here's the thing: this is something that Kathleen Kennedy was also an executive producer on, and I think you know it gives a wide variety of diversity. You know, it is one of those things where I think, you know, at this point, like, I feel like some people...
Yeah, but why is it when it's not Star Wars?
Well, but here's the thing, Willow, there was lots of Lucasfilm films that don't have it, but, you know, there's no reason not to try, give her time. There's been three movies so far. You know, I like to assume the best in people, Danya, and I think Kathleen Kennedy is doing a good job so far. Even though I wasn't 100% behind The Last Jedi in every decision, I understood it, and I was okay with it, and I'm glad that, you know, we're going to get more films from Ryan. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see. This is exciting news. We're getting more Star Wars. Like, I'm excited for it.
I mean, it's exciting for you. I get that it's exciting for you. For me, it's incredibly disappointing, and basically indicative of a franchise that is sticking with the same sorts of people over and over and over again. When, as you just proved, when it's not attached to the Star Wars franchise, apparently they can include diversity. But when it's attached to Star Wars, for some reason, they don't. And Kathleen Kennedy, unfortunately, does prioritize white women above other women, because look at the people who were in the running for Kira's role prior to Emilia Clarke getting it. They were all either black women or biracial until Emilia Clarke got the role.
That I'll agree with there. That was interesting. Now, but again, at the same time, though, she is a strong actress. I don't know if there's something wasn't there. We just don't know. But at the same time, all of the
actresses that were in the running were strong, incredible actresses. So,
yeah, I don't know. Like, here's the thing: when you see, I'll be on this. Like, I've done casting calls before, and I've literally seen 30 people read for the same part. And it's when you see, you know, they might all be good actresses or actors, but when you see that many people do the same thing over and over again, it's the person who that stood out, you know. Yeah. Maybe that's also like how these guys got involved, because, you know, she comes from Game of Thrones too. I don't know. You know, we just don't know on that 100%. But I'm excited still, and I'm sorry that you're not as excited as I am, Danya. But that's okay. We'll have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, and I wonder what Caitlin hasn't had the chance to give her thoughts either, because she might be a neutral medium. Me and Caitlin talked about this a
bunch before you.
Caitlin. Yeah, we kind of talked about it a little bit before. I have mixed feelings about this, because at the beginning of Game of Thrones, I thoroughly enjoyed what was presented, especially because it was so close to the book content. But as the series wore on, I've also had issues. And so, yeah, I think the reason why they were chosen, because yes, their success with Game of Thrones, and also because of their name, it adds their name to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it also ties in Game of Thrones to it. So it's like, oh, the guys who created Game of Thrones is doing Star Wars now. And I'll be honest with you, I don't have this feeling right now, but I know some people will. I think you said it earlier. How many Star Wars movies are there going to be? Like, and this is something that will draw people in, you know, for a different Star Wars film.
Yeah,
and keep going with it.
But then we're looking at what, another 6 Star Wars movies from the same sort of perspective again. So then that makes it how many Star Wars movies?
All.
Without a different perspective?
That would be all.
That'd be all of them, but, you know, but at the same time, like, you know, my only argument would be is we've had different directors, we've had different people, we've had different perspectives. You can't write them out saying they don't have a different perspective just because they're...
Yeah, well...
You know, just because of the okay, color of their skin. Okay. You can't say they don't have a different perspective because of the color of their skin and
you
their sex.
Absolutely can. I cannot say that I fully understand the perspective of someone who grew up black. I can't. I cannot understand that. I can educate myself as much as I possibly can and come to some kind of vague understanding of what it means to grow up black, what it means to be black. But I can never, never, ever understand what that means.
I'll agree, but I think each person has their own perspective, Danya. And I think,
yeah,
you know, we have different perspectives from each person. They may be similar. You know, they may have some similarities, but I can't say we haven't had any different perspectives.
Same perspectives from the same backgrounds, because there is a significant amount of privilege with being white that means that you don't face the same adversities and challenges.
Trust me, I know.
People of color. Yeah, exactly.
I know. I can tell you stories of... I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm not going to get into
it. No, this is what I mean, though, is that I would want your perspective. That's the thing. I don't want to see the perspective of another white person, because that's the same perspective as we're always getting, because there are huge amounts of understanding in the way that people have grown up, in their culture, in pretty much everything to do with them, that we're just not getting.
Okay, I will take that, but at the same time, just because, like you said it yourself, you can learn and you can attempt to understand and empathize.
But I will never know. That's the thing.
That's innately, true. You'll never know.
I'll never know.
But here's the other thing: is if you were trying to tell a story, and you are my voice because you're a writer, Danya, and we sat down and I told you intimate details of. I won't go into it here, but I've been judged unfairly because of the color of my skin.
Yeah,
numerous times, and it's like it's what it is. You know, I try to look past it because not everyone is like that, and I have lots of friends and family members who don't do anything like that. But think of it this way: like if I told you intimate details of this, could you write my story down and tell it and be truthful to it or be faithful to it? I think you could.
This is where you get what's known as sensitivity readers.
So you then
hire and pay someone to go through and read that story once you are done with your first draft to go, well, actually, this isn't necessarily true. Oh, actually, you're being fairly... you've got some internalized misogyny here that's coming through, or you've got some fairly internal racist tendencies in the way that you're actually approaching and wording this. So you have people there who keep you in check.
Here's the other thing, and as I would have you do it, because maybe you're a better writer, you're telling my story, and I would be okay with it as long as, you know, the story came out. And, you know, here's the thing is, as a person of color, excited for Star Wars, I will tell you, I understand at least where Kathleen Kennedy's coming from in one sense. If the formula is not broken, don't fix it. Like, it's making the money. I'm still enjoying the stories. I know some people aren't, but, you know, and that's where they are pushing different things. But, here's the thing is, I love Star Wars. I love the lore. And I think because they did a great job telling, like she said, it's complex characters, depth of richness. I think they were picked specifically for Old Republic style stuff. Like, they, especially with the latest tweets and rumors of, like, we're going to get a lot of full-fledged characters after it was specifically mentioned, like, is Revan coming back and stuff like that? Like, it's like, oh, you'll find out sooner than you'd be surprised. And we're like, what? Like, you know, the fandom isn't buzz. And I feel like this is the group that was chosen to be able to bring that storyline that people say is arguably the best Star Wars story, you know, Star Wars The Old Republic, and that story of those characters to life. And I'm okay with that. Like, this is not something that I would say, like, I wish someone else had done it if this is what they're going to do. I'm not saying this is it. I don't have any inside information, but I would be okay with them doing that. And that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, I'm from the other side. I'm like the opposite side of the spectrum. Because I don't agree that they have the depth and richness of characters across the board. I think they tell the stories of very specific characters very well. But I don't think that they tell the stories of all characters very well.
Okay.
And that's the problem I have. That the characters that they can tell the stories of very well are the characters with the most privilege.
Well, I'll tell you this. I would just want Donald Glover to direct a Lando film himself.
I mean, there are a lot. There are a lot of people that I would love to see with this opportunity. There are a lot of people that I would want to see who I think write incredible films and incredibly rich, diverse characters. And I mean diverse in the sense of, like, they're interesting. They come from different backgrounds. They are very well handled, and there's a lot of different characters coming across. I mean, look at how well some of the Marvel films recently have done. Like Thor Ragnarok with Taika Waititi, and now, as we're getting and hearing, Ryan Coogler's Black Panther. Like, there are multiple directors out there from different backgrounds who are able to handle and put forward perspectives and richness in characters that are very, very, very different. But I think my frustration in this comes from it's the same people getting the same opportunities over and over and over again. That's my frustration. Because it's never women, and it's never people of color.
Okay, I agree with you on that, but...
I mean, there's no way to dispute that.
No, that's true, but, you know, here's the
and
thing.
And I mean, a lot of the... Like, I'm scrolling through my timeline right now, and my entire timeline is people... Like, someone had, like, put out the tweet being like, who's not getting a Star Wars film? And someone quote tweeted it saying women and people of color. Like, there are people basically, there's huge backlash here of, like, people being like, but why?
Yeah. You know, here's the thing is, so far, we've had 3 people get Star Wars films. You know, 3 people have done Star Wars films so far. And, you know, they're the fourth people to get a film. I think if this is after 5 or 6 films that are completely unique, now this doesn't count that JJ comes back for episode 9, like, because he it's kind of like the George thing where he kind of owns that trilogy, if you will. So I'm okay with him coming back for episode 9. But like, if by like the 5th and 6th, like, completely unique trilogy or stories, we don't see anything like that, then it becomes more of a problem.
Why do you have to wait that long?
Well,
why
again,
should you have to wait that long?
Well, and this is my argument, is again, we don't know all the deals, we don't know what's going on, we don't know timing, we don't know lots of different things that are happening, and we don't know, you know, we just don't know what's going on. So I'm taking it as what it is, and we'll see. But, you know, in 2 years' time, if nothing else changes, maybe I'll change my tune. But for right now, I'm going to say, hey, I'm excited, and I hope it's in this area that I adore as a Star Wars fan. We'll see. Mm. Let's talk about something a little bit more fun and lighthearted. Like the Solo trailers. I think the Solo film is going to be super fun. Like, I personally feel like it looks like an adventure film. It's like The Smugglers. I'd want it to be like, it looks fun to me. I do want to briefly talk about, and you talked about it a little bit when we asked initial thoughts, about the Big Game TV spot, the 45 seconds. The interesting part about that was there was really only one major scene that was different in there, was it looked like Han Solo talking to a recruitment officer in the Big Game teaser. Do you guys remember that scene? Do you need to pull up the chair just so we can talk about it? And it was interesting because, you know, when you look at like Han Solo's lore, history, like that was something whereas he used to work for the Empire. You know, he was an officer in the Empire, and he saw, you know, the Wookiees being enslaved, and he freed them, and that's why Chewie had a life debt. And that's something from canon, that Chewie had a life debt. We don't really know the full story canon-wise anymore, but we know Chewie had a life debt that is explicit in A New Hope. And that's why Chewie hung around with Han Solo. Now, at the same time, like, I don't think Han treats him as a slave because he has a life debt, but more as, you know, we see it. Like, he treats him as friend. You know, his best friend, if you will. So it's one of those things where I think it's interesting to see in this one, the big game trailer, is that you see him kind of going to a recruitment, if you will. And he says, I want to be a pilot, which is Han Solo. And I think this trailer is actually the one where it's that I didn't know if I liked the voice, if you will, because it was completely narrative that way. And it kind of made me worried about the actual Solo trailer until I saw it. And then I was just like, okay, I like this again. What do you guys think of that big game spot and the narrative at the beginning with him signing up for the Imperial Navy, if you will?
I mean, I kind of assumed that him signing up was part of that the heist that they're going to be pulling. Like, because...
Oh, okay.
I figured that was him rejoining rather than him joining for the first time. Because he would have had to have been a lot younger to have joined the first time, right? The way that he framed it in the full trailer made it sound as though he had joined younger and got kicked out and left. And I think that the timing of some of the scenes, like the one later on with Beckett and Han and Chewie being together in that scene when Beckett is basically like, are you in? Yeah, I'm putting a team together, you in. Like, the familiarity and the comfort between the two of them there, you know, that felt like they had known each other for a long time versus them not having only just become friends. Like, for me, that felt like very classic Chewie and Han in that they knew each other. They were the Chewie and Han that we know from, like, A New Hope. There was just something about it that framed and followed a lot of the scenes. Like they kind of had parallels in the ways that they were standing, in the ways that they were set up and framed. Like, it harkened back to, like, scenes that we got from A New Hope. So, I kind of figured that it was maybe going to be them rejoining, or at least Han trying to get away in order to pull off whatever this heist is. This mission is. Yeah, that was my thought after seeing the full trailer. So that's kind of what I was thinking. I don't know, I might be completely off. I might be way off in my thinking.
I like that idea of the story. I'll be honest with you, I don't want to know too much about the Solo film before going into it. So it's going to be really hard to run the podcast and dive into it. Because I will say, like, this looks really fun. Like, the mannerisms, like, the first time I saw the trailer and he's driving the speeder after he says, like, since I was 10, I've been, you know, running scams on the street. And he drives in Amelia, you know, he's in the speeder and Amelia Clark's inside of him. And he kind of makes the face like he's driving. And then he looks back. I'm like, that looked like Han Solo. Minus, again, the voice was something that bothered me. But it was okay. Like,
you know, I mean, to an extent with the voice, would rather him not try to imitate Harrison Ford. Like, I think that if he tried to imitate it too much, it would be one of those things where it would be more off-putting because you could tell that he's trying too hard. Do you get what I mean? I think that once we hear him for, like, at least a good 5 minutes of the film, we'll be fine.
I think in a couple minutes it'll be good. All right. So we're introduced to a bunch of characters in the film. A few of them we have names for, some we don't have full names for other than kind of rumors. I don't want to dive into that. We do have characters like Lando, and we see Lando a couple times in the trailer. With the smile is probably the first one where he's just sitting there with a, you know, in this roguish outfit. It's really funny is that that first time you're introduced to him in the trailer, when he talks about putting a crew together and it kind of flashes through to everyone, you see Lando there. It reminds me of an outfit he wore in Rebels. You know, the kind of cowboyish looking outfit. I don't know if it's actually tan, but that's what it looks like with the lighting. And he just smiles, and he looks more like the Rebels version of Lando Calrissian, which makes me happy, because it's that time period, if you will. So when you see Lando there, you also see him flying what would be the Falcon with the robot. I don't know who the droid's name is. Maybe you know, and I don't. But
I don't think we've been given a name yet.
Yeah, but he kind of does a little salute to the droid, and he's wearing a completely different outfit there. And I'm just like, oh man, like it made me smile because he's wearing that kind of what do you call it? The outfit that's in the poster, that really bright yellow, flashy, with a cape, because you know it's Lando. He's got to have a cape. So what do you guys think of Lando in the trailer? Even though we saw him for such a small amount of time.
Best part?
Yeah, by far the best part of this.
Yeah!
This film should be about Lando.
Like, there's a reason...
I don't know if it should be about Lando. I think he's going to have to play an important role, though. But I'm
more interested in Lando's story than I am about Han's. Michal wrote a really interesting... article which basically summed up a lot of my feelings about the Han Solo movie, which is that Han's character works so well in the original trilogy through to Force Awakens because you don't know the truth behind some of his claims. You don't know the truth about the Kessel Run. You don't know for certain how much is bluster, how much is him basically tooting his own horn, so to speak, versus the actual truth. And I think that's why the character works so well, because you get that kind of doubt, like that little kernel of doubt of is what he's saying the truth? Is it a tall tale? Is it like a story that's kind of gotten out of hand? Will knowing the truth about it impact on how well those scenes now work if we know the truth behind them?
I think it will. Like,
think
of it this way, at least for me. So, think back when the prequels were released. And I know, Donnie, you saw them in theaters as they were coming out. Caitlin, I don't know if we ever talked about when you saw the prequels the first time.
Oh, in the theater.
Okay, in the theater. Okay, I figured as much, but I didn't want to speak for you. So think of it this way. Like, I remember fandom during this time period when The Phantom Menace came out, Senator Palpatine, people didn't realize it was the Emperor. Unless you had read the books and other things, like, and went to Star Wars Celebration 1 that was in, you know, Aurora, Colorado, or go to, like, read, you know, the Star Wars Insider that came out 4 times a year. Like, if you weren't, like, that person trying to read all that stuff and kind of absorb everything, you wouldn't have recognized that that obviously was the Emperor. You know, and I'm using the Emperor as a story because I'll say this. Like, knowing more about his story doesn't change any more ominous presence of who he was in the original trilogy.
Yeah, that's, in fact, it makes me like him more. Though. Like, for me, that's, like, the characters are fundamentally different. The Emperor isn't going around trying to, like...
blow up planets? Like, here's the thing is, like...
Not blow up planets. What I mean is that he's not sitting around in cantinas trying to be like, don't you know who I am? Don't you know what this ship is? Don't you know that I made the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs? Like, he's not doing that.
That's the
difference. But if I know the truth, if I know the actual full truth behind the Kessel Run, will that now change how that scene plays out for me? For me, I think it does, because then I know the truth. I don't know if it's all bluster. I don't know if it's just sort of.
Well, and, but here's my thing, argument: like, is how do we know this is going to have the Kessel Run? How do we know that
they're
this is
going
touch-
to Kessel?
Well, just because they're going to Kessel doesn't mean they're doing the Kessel Run. Kessel is a is just a planet. The Kessel Run has, you know, there's different. You know, we don't know. Like, and my argument is like it could be one of those things where this could touch on completely different things and it won't change the character at all. We just don't. Like, and that's my thing with this. Like, making an opinion about some of it before, like you just don't know how it's going to turn out, and it might make it you love him even more. He might become more of a, you know, the scoundrel that you love, the one who is ready to shoot first in the cantina and flip a coin and say, I'm sorry for the mess. Like, it might dictate, because think about it, like, when you take that out of context, somebody who is sitting in a bar shoots somebody else nonchalantly and tosses a coin and say, sorry about the mess, like, he's a cold-blooded killer, like, you should be scared of him. But maybe this kind of puts it more in perspective. And why we ended up looking past that as him and going somewhere else. So I'm okay with it. You know, I'm okay with that. All right. We talked about Lando. We got derailed and talked about Solo a little bit more. So dislikes about the trailer. Just the trailer itself. Not what the possibility of film is. Dislikes about the trailer.
I mean, it's not so much dislikes as in there was something about the whole thing coming together that just felt rote. It felt routine. It felt like it was hitting the same sort of notes that I would expect of any kind of heist slash drama, I guess. Like, it hit the same notes through it. Which makes me think that it's not going to be doing anything really different. And that can be fine. It might be a completely fine film. But for me, there was nothing really new or exciting there. And I think that's the problem that I had with it. Not that I didn't dislike anything. That's the bottom line. There wasn't anything I hated. There wasn't anything that jumped out at me and went, oh, I don't like that at all.
Oh, there's one thing.
It was mostly just like, it mostly just felt routine. It mostly just felt like, yeah, this is going to be a semi-decent summer blockbuster that'll be good to kill an hour or two. It's the same feeling I get from a Fast and the Furious film, for example. I go into that, I know what I'm getting. I'm getting something incredibly dumb that blows crap up. That's what I'm getting when I go and see a Fast and the Furious film. That's what I go in expecting. That's what I want. That's what I'm gonna get. But I got that same feeling from the Han Solo trailer. That okay. It's basically just going to be something that is going to be fun, but doesn't do anything new or interesting.
Okay.
And well, that can be fine. That can be completely fine.
We heard that before. That it's going to be kind of like a Fast and Furious in space with him racing and stuff like that. So I'm okay with that. The one thing I will say I honestly just did not like from the trailer that I saw, and maybe I'm taking it out of context, is I posted the picture in our Discord for our Patreons to look at. It's early on when Han's looking over the, you know, the mountains and everything in the snow. He's wearing this, like, furry parka. Okay, I'm going to put it this way. When he, in The Force Awakens, Han goes to, you know, Starkiller Base, and he's still wearing just his little jacket. And it's a joke that Leia's like, same jacket, he hasn't changed. This jacket doesn't feel like Han to me. It feels like they're trying to do something else. Again, I'm sure it's such a little thing, but it just, the jacket itself feels kind of odd to me. Especially the other reason why, especially since he's like friends with Chewbacca, it looks like a Wookiee pelt. Like, come on. Like, some sensitivity there for your best bud, Chewie. I don't know, but that's just me.
Because we also get a scene where Lando is in, like, a big, thick fur coat as well, but my god, does he rock that thing.
Well, I'd be okay with Lando wearing that.
Yeah, but what I was going to say, look at the location, look at where they are.
They came to
what
visit.
What are the odds that they have ended up stranded there and are having to wear something that they found or that they've managed to procure or that they managed to just get hold of because it's essential rather than a style choice.
Or that's it's part of the character.
And again, when we're talking about the trailer, that's something I dislike because it doesn't feel like Han Solo to me. But I'll but we'll see. We'll have to wait and see. But I will say, if he's like in that outfit for half the film, I'll be like, I don't like it.
I doubt that he will be. I don't think that that is a look. I mean, if that was a look that he was going to be wearing quite significantly, that is the look that we would have got on the poster. That's the same for Lando as well. Like, we've got their main looks. They're the looks that they're wearing on the poster. They wouldn't lead with those outfits if those were the ones that they were going to be wearing. So we know what their main outfits are going to be. Now, them wearing an outer jacket over the top of those outfits because of a change in terrain and, temperature.
Or...
That's different.
Okay. Alright, I'll take that. So, before the Solo trailer came out, I think I was the only one who was positive, maybe Ben a little bit, but I think everyone was a little nervous. Can either of you say that your opinions have changed since seeing the trailer at all?
No.
Donya, you're still like, no.
Caitlin, no, my opinion hasn't changed. I feel like the trailer is reinforced a lot of what I felt, which is that this is going to be a film that is just fine. It's probably going to be perfectly inoffensive and okay. But I think that's about as much as I'll be able to give it. And I think the trailer, for the most part, reinforced that for me.
Yeah, see, I feel like this reminds me a lot of Rogue One, where I was kind of like, okay, I'm excited for it. And then I was blown away, and I've watched Rogue One a million times since it came out. And I feel like, it feels like that. But maybe it's because it's the second of a Star Wars story. Like I said, the trailer has made me more excited. Caitlin, any opinions? Or you agree with Danya? Like, you're just kind of like, meh.
Yeah, like, I'm going to go see it, obviously. But I'm not, like, my level of excitement and need to see it is nowhere close to what it was for The Last Jedi.
Okay, I'll agree with that, because The Last Jedi is very special in the sense that that's the new trilogy films, and those are a little bit more landmark films, if you will. So I'll take that. Alright, guys. Well, I would love to hear our responses to the trailer from our listeners. Shoot us a tweet at our radio podcast. Let us know what you thought about the Solo trailer. I kind of want to dive more into this next week, too, because this was fun to kind of talk about. Maybe Ben will join us.
Ooh, anyway, actually, I thought of something that concerns me.
Okay. Tell me what concerns you.
The relationship being set up between Kira and Han, that concerns me. Mostly because I don't know how much it's going to contradict what we know from canon happens between Senna Staros and Han.
We'll just wait and see.
Yeah, that's one thing that the trailer made me go,
Well, there was a
Are we going with another love interest, though? Are we?
I don't know. There was another tweet of talking about how there was definitely time between Revenge of the Sith and the Solo film. And obviously, we kind of have a timeline where the comics takes Han Solo, so we'll have to wait and see. I don't know if there's going to be another interest. I feel like maybe just a friend. But we'll dive into that another week. Thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us at Twitter on that. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at Our Radio Podcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/Resistance Radio Podcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/Resistance Radio Podcast. And as always, I am Mikey B.
I'm Danya.
And I'm Caitlin.
And may the Force be with you.
And also with you.
I'm solo. Yeah, I'm feeling good tonight. Finally feeling free and it feels so right. Oh, time to do the things I like. Gonna see a princess, everything's alright. Oh, no job but I answer to. Ain't a fixture in the palace zoo.
No. And since the carbonite's off me, I'm living life now that I'm free. Yeah. Told me get myself together. Now I got myself together. Now I made it through the weather. Better days are gonna be better. I'm so happy the carbonite is gone. I'm moving on. I'm so happy that it's over now. The pain is gone.
I'm putting on my shades to cover up my eyes. I'm jumping in my ride. I'm heading out tonight.
I'm solo. I'm hunting solo. I'm hunting solo. I'm hunting solo. Solo.
I'm picking up my plaster, putting it on my sign. I'm jumping in my Falcon.
I'm solo, I'm hot solo, I'm hot solo, I'm hot solo.